Welcome to your new day.
This is Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
Wimbledon is underway. It's a third Grand Slam of the tennis calendar year. And of course, quite a bit of controversy around this year's edition because the organizers have opted to exclude all Russian and Belarusian players because of the invasion that is taking place in Ukraine at the moment. And courtside is Deborah Curtis-Setchell, a Kryptonian who has traveled to Wimbledon to go and enjoy Wimbledon. Hello, Deborah.
Good morning, Africa. And I am terribly disappointed to announce that I am actually not yet courtside, I'm afraid, heading in that direction. But in fact, still mention the war, it's affecting everybody around the world, not just Wimbledon. Apparently, they're processing Ukrainian refugees by the dozen, and there is an extraordinary backlog of visas. And I had a five-year multiple entry UK visa, and suffice to say it expired, I think, about 2 days before Wimbledon started. And they said, right, that'll be fine as long as you get there before it expires. But that's not the case. I've had to reapply, and I'm chewing my nails.
So sorry.
Hopefully, I'm going to be on a plane in the next few days, Africa. But it's devastating having to watch it, you know, on television for the first time in I don't know how many years.
And of course,
COVID.
What is special about this year also is that it's the first time that crowds have returned to Wimbledon because of the pandemic the last couple of years.
Well, that, but I mean, I think even more importantly, it's the 100-year celebration, which is fantastic because it's happening the same year as the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. This is the oldest of the Grand Slams, as you know, and I mean, history attached to it, but it's also been run. I mean, it's literally probably the only owned private club that functions like a major corporation. It's incredible. This, you know, the organization, the tradition, the rules that don't change. It's quite an extraordinary institution and probably the last bastion of British sporting culture, I would imagine.
Well, it's often referred to as an unparalleled cathedral of sport, and I could not agree with that sentiment more. Well, you've managed to watch, I would imagine, some of the games. Andy Murray, of course, having, was it a couple of years ago when he had those multiple surgeries, and he's been trying to get back on form, and he did very well in the tournaments leading up to Wimbledon, but in the second round yesterday was knocked out by John Isner, and he shouldn't be too despondent, Andy, because I mean John is a good player.
Well, yeah, he's a bit more than a good player. In fact, I mean he almost broke the record for the highest number, serving the highest number of aces. He almost beat Karlovic to it. I think he served 36 in that match, but we're talking about something like 13,000 aces over that amount. And he was just shy of it. But, I mean, this is a 6'10" giant who's been around, and I mean, much like Murray for years and years. Obviously, he hasn't won a Grand Slam like Murray. But, and he's, by the way, never beaten Murray before yesterday. But he's one heck of a tennis player. And the fact is that he used that old, tried and tested formula of serving like a demon and getting most of his first serves in and volleying. He's got fantastic hands around the net. In fact, he drop-shotted Murray, who used to be the king of drop shots, together with Djokovic about a decade ago when they started, you know, to win these slams. So he really, and I mean, that crowd, you talk about a packed stadium. You have no idea when you're sitting in that on that center court. And it's a very intimate one compared to the Australian Open and the US Open. It is, I mean, this is a private club. It's this tennis event is supposed to be described as, apart from your beautiful description of the cathedral, basically what they're trying to achieve is tennis in a country garden. And it's very much like that when you're sitting courtside. But it's deafening. Especially with the, you know, with the sort of sound resonating off the roof, etc. And that crowd obviously are firmly behind Murray. And I mean, they're far more, in fact, it's something I've noticed at all the slams this year, post-COVID. is that the crowds are more vocal than they have ever been, you know, shouting out. So it's very, very tough when they are all, I mean, not obviously all against. Of course, there are a few Americans in that crowd in your own box, but it's overwhelming. So I thought, I must say, that Isner really kept his head on.
Yeah, no, he did
very well. He deserved that one. Let's put it that way. Murray, you know, I probably was one of the thought Murray should have retired. I think these guys, I mean, Federer, Nadal's probably the only one who's doing what they all want to be doing, which is continuing to win slams. Mm. But I honestly probably was one of those that felt seriously that Murray should have retired on a high. Because, you know, you battling it out there, being beaten in the first round, the second round. You saw what happened to Serena thereafter.
Yeah. Deborah, I do hope that when we chat again next week, you'll be courtside. Deborah Curtis-Setchell, thank you very much for your insights into Wimbledon.